Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You just tuned into the Hour Show.
-10.
And it is the biggie.
It is the biggie.
It's your boy Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, man, cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again, John Mazen, ghostwriting, striking lightning, call me Thor, control the flow, I'm precise, when I'm writing to the score of my life, through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype, found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again, one more song, open mics, I was killing them, now you feel the power, the present is the gift and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming. Like them bullets in the hundreds in Chicago in the summer. From some youngins in the armor. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this trilogy. Place bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo.
This is Journey Praise, and you are now tuned in to the G-Hour Show.
Hey, welcome. It's the D-Hour Show back again. Once again, the Tuesday spot is back on this lovely October 30th, 2012. Yes, the day before Halloween, when all the spooks, ghosts, goblins, and candy. Yeah, candy is just evil. But all the spooks, ghosts, goblins, zombies, it might be some real zombies out there, especially if people are out there messing around with bath salts, but be careful. Halloween, we'll be here tomorrow, so make sure you guys are careful. Make sure you're safe. Make sure your children are right by your side. Halloween is definitely when all the crazies come out, so definitely make sure you guys are safe and have some fun and you know, don't scare somebody's pacemaker. You know, scare somebody out of their pacemaker. Don't make any elderly individuals soil their underwear, so to speak. So please, let's be safe. Let's be careful. The D Hour Show, the Tuesday spot, is here once again. Your host D Slate. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hopefully, my brother Leo will be in with me in a little bit. Our other brother CK isn't feeling good tonight, so he's gonna take the night off and try to feel better. CK, I hope you feel better, brother, and we'll definitely get it in with you next Tuesday on the Tuesday spot. And also for those, got a little information about some new formats of a couple of the shows for the D Hour Show, but we'll get into that in a little bit. If you are a independent local hip-hop artist, singer, R&B artist, or if you're just a singer, period, you got some great music and you want it to be aired on the D-Hour Show, you want to be interviewed on our show, all you have to do is email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. That's dhourshow@gmail.com, dhourshow@gmail.com. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search the keywords D Hour Show. And definitely make sure you send us that information. And if you want your music played, you want to be interviewed, and you are a singer or a hip-hop artist, make sure you send us your MP3s of your music, two photographs of yourself. And you know, we're not talking about Playboy and Playgirl photos. Please, we're not trying to get sick. You don't need to send us that, but two photos of yourself, as well as a brief bio of yourself in third person, please. Not in first person. But definitely send us that information and email it to us at thehourshow@gmail.com. We'll get back to you about a date and time of when we will air your music and have you on the show. Also, if you have a business, website, or event coming up, you want it to be advertised on the D Hour Show, again, you can email us at thehourshow@gmail.com, and we can email you all the details and price deals and different things like that for advertisement with us. We'll definitely get that in with you guys. We have no problem advertising your event, and trust me, we'll get it in with you, and we'll definitely do that for you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Halloween. Halloween will be tomorrow. I got to say, Halloween is definitely a decent reason why I like Halloween is because right around that time, and Halloween is when they're playing. Is when they're playing all the greatest horror films on TV and cable and in the theaters and different things like that. So that, you know, they're playing all the classic and horror films and, you know, new horror films. And I'm a huge horror buff. I'm a huge horror film fan. So I love around that time of the year because I get to watch some of my favorites and even some of the new ones who could possibly become some of my favorites. We'll talk about, you know, some of your favorite horror films tonight. Definitely, if you want to give us a call, and I would love to hear that, guys, throughout the night, give us a call, 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553. Give us a call. I would like to know what your favorite horror film is. I like to know what's the scariest horror film you've ever seen and why it was so scary to you. Why did you soil your underwear? Why did you piss on yourself? We would like to know what made you that scared, okay? We'd like to know that. We'd like to know what was the scariest film you've ever seen and why it was so scary. And I'll get into my, you know, what the scariest film I've ever seen and some of my favorites. You know, I'll get into that throughout the show. For instance, I'll start off with one, The Fog. Of course, the John Carpenter version. But The Fog was probably one of my favorite horror films. Is, you know, just the music in general. You know, Carpenter, he's really big about, you know, music and, you know, what we like to call the score. But he's really good with creating creepy music that just gives you chills up your spine. You know, again, Carpenter, the, you know, the genius behind Halloween, which was revamped, you know, by Rob Zombie himself, you know, gave us an in-depth look of the evil shadowy figure, Michael Myers. We got a chance to take an in-depth look at, you know, Michael Myers and what he was all about in Rob Zombie's version. Speaking of Rob Zombie's version of Halloween, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully a little later in the show, we have a treat. Hopefully a little later in the show, we will be joined by phenomenal actor Tyler Mane will be joining us on the show, and he will be talking to your boy D. Slade, getting it in with him about working with Rob Zombie and becoming the shadowy figure we know as Michael Myers and, you know, any other, you know, up-and-coming projects he's working on, and just his, you know, his stint, you know, in acting and, you know, what it's done for him and, you know, and his career. And for those that don't know, he was also Sabretooth in the first X-Men motion picture. He played Wolverine's arch nemesis Sabretooth in that film. And, you know, for those wrestling fans out there, Tyler Mane is also an ex-wrestler. So we'll definitely be getting in. Hopefully we'll be getting in with him a little later on the show, talking with him about that. And just, you know, playing all the favorite hits, music. You know how we do it on the D Hour Show. The Tuesday spot. Definitely getting it in. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to be playing some hits throughout the show. So keep it locked. D Slate, the D Hour Show, the Tuesday spot. Absolutely. Getting it in. You know, it's, you know, Halloween. I know some people get a little afraid around that time of year and just don't know what to do. It's like, you know, they hear certain sounds and, you know, music. And I'm going to go into all different things about, you know, just some of the crazy things that they do in horror films and why people just fall for it, just fall head first into what's going on in horror films. I mean, if you go into a haunted house, you know, if you go into a house, you buy a house, and you see shadowy figures walking around, and you're the only one in the house at the time, and you're hearing voices and noises going on, and you're the only one in the house at the time, and if the house says, get out, if that's not a clear signal for you to get the hell out the house, then maybe you need to stay there and find out what's actually in the house, so you can be another statistic of horror film morons. Just a few tips to help you out. You know, if you see a zombie, you know, just your hypothetical, you see a zombie, and you have a gun. We've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of zombie films. If you don't know how to kill a zombie by now, something is really wrong with you. If you see a zombie and you start shooting it all up in the body, all up in the arms and legs, and you're like, I can't believe he's just still coming. Okay, first of all, it's a zombie. We all know you're supposed to shoot a zombie in the head. Now, if you don't know that, then maybe you deserve to be Thanksgiving dinner to a bunch of crazed, bloodthirsty, definitely need to put some lotion on their body zombies. Be safe. The hour show, the Tuesday spot, just a few tips for you. We'll give you tips like that throughout the show just to help you guys out. Halloween, oh my goodness, it'll be here tomorrow. Halloween, I could just hear it now. I could just hear it now. Halloween. Do you hear it? Turn around. Oh, wait. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a buddy down the street. Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to scare you like that. Halloween, the D-Hour Show, Tuesday spot. Hopefully we'll be getting in with my man Tyler Main tonight. Absolutely. Can't wait to talk to him. We got hits for you. This is a hit, but not the hit you're expecting. I should hit you just for playing this song. All right. I'll stop scaring people. I'll stop doing that. D-Slate. D-Hour Show, Tuesday spot, got the hits. Let's start it off with my man Al B. Sure with Night and Day right here on the D-Hour Show, Tuesday spot. Let's go.
Yeah. Waiting with the pain. RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, Latoya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. It's the D-Hour Show, Blog Talk Radio, the Tuesday Spot. It's your boy D Slade playing all the hits. You just got to be listening to Roshan Lyles with Best Time. Before that, you heard CeCe Peniston with her hit Keep On Walking, and then it was Al B. Shore with Night and Day. Playing all the hits, all the independent up-and-coming artist hits, and your favorite celebrity hits. As always, right here on the D-Hour Show, getting it in, a Tuesday spot, the day before Halloween, all the fear, all the chills, all the candy given out tomorrow, so make sure you guys please be careful out there on Halloween and trick-or-treating with your kids, and if you're trick-or-treating yourself, then somebody needs to give you a nice swift boot in the ass if you're out there trying to get candy, grown adult trying to get candy, pretending like you're a little kid. Just because you're small, don't pretend you're like you're a little kid. Let the kids have their candy. Let the kids have their candy, please. Stop trying to get over. Go to Walmart or Target or something and buy yourself something to eat, you know, some candy or something like that. You can get that from there. Stop trying to get your free candy on Halloween. Grown adults, kids, 19, 20 years old, trying to trick-or-treat. Let the kids get out there and enjoy their trick-or-treating and enjoy Halloween. And like I said before, please be safe. Please keep an eye on your kids and make it a safe, safe holiday. Now, also on a serious note, I like to take this time to, let everybody know that, you know, for those that's suffering in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, prayers and condolences definitely go out to all the families suffering on the East Coast from this disaster, and definitely, hopefully, the relief fund is going into effect, and all those that can help, please do help those individuals that have lost all their belongings and possibly, you know, loved ones, and they're suffering right now. So your, you know, whatever you can give can definitely help them. So definitely reach out and help as much as you can. Definitely prayers and condolences go out to those families suffering in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, and hopefully we can get past this like we've always have gotten past such disasters. You know, as human beings, you know, we tend to have a character in all its own to be able to handle such tragedies and different things like that. And you know, those that have suffered, you know, in past hurricanes and different situations, you know, have been able to come out of it, you know, safe and get through it very well. So hopefully these families will be able to do the same, and individuals will be able to do the same. I mean, it's horrible to know that there's 8 million people out there suffering from power problems, but hopefully they can get that taken care of and get those families their power back on and everybody can get back to their lives or somewhat close to the lives that they had before. But definitely, if you have an opportunity to give, make sure you do that for all the victims of Hurricane Sandy. Prayers and condolences go out to you guys, definitely. Now, I got some information for movie fans. All you science fiction movie fans, all you sci-fi nerds out there who love science fiction movies and action and fantasy films. I got a little bit of information. If you did not know, for all the Star Wars fans out there, got some news. All the Star Wars fans, D-Slay has got news for you. Apparently Disney has put the offer on the table, and it looked like it may be taken. Okay, George Lucas, owner of Lucasfilms, has been offered $4 billion. $4 billion. I didn't say million. No, $4 billion for Lucasfilms and Star Wars. And it looks like the deal is going to go through. And also, Star Wars fans, it looks like in 2015, the legendary and ever so wanting Episode 7 of Star Wars will be coming out in theaters in 2015. So we got a few years, but it looks like all the Star Wars fans may get an opportunity to see the next trilogy starting with Episode 7. So it didn't end with Return of the Jedi. We thought it did, but it didn't end with Return of the Jedi, and it looks like we may be getting our chance to see that. Now, the question to all the fans is, do you think Disney is going to ruin the Star Wars series? I really don't think so. You know, when you look at Disney's track record, they've had some great films throughout their history. So I don't think that they're going to tarnish, they're going to tarnish the incredible story of Star Wars. From what all the fans love so much about it, I really don't think they're going to tarnish that. So fans, get ready. Fans alike, Star Wars fans out there, please get ready. Episode 7, the ever-wanting Episode 7, will be coming to theaters 2015. Absolutely. Definitely can't wait to see that. Got another horror film for you guys. One of my favorites, which I probably will be checking out maybe a little bit later. But the horror film Dead Silence. I like the horror film Dead Silence. Dead Silence was pretty good. If you didn't get a chance to see it, to give you a brief synopsis of Dead Silence, it's revolving around ventriloquist dummies and a woman who was a ventriloquist who lived in this town, and she died suddenly in this town. And if you see her, and if you say her, and if you scream, oh, it won't be good for you. So if you want to definitely check out the film, you know, go rent or get online or go to Netflix or Redbox or however you watch your movies and check out Dead Silence for all the horror movie fans out there. Very good movie. Very creepy to me because I'm not a big fan of ventriloquist dummies. Those are some of the creepiest things on the planet. I'm not a huge doll ventriloquist dummy fan. Dolls are already kind of creepy, but ventriloquist dummies are extremely creepy. Almost like the movie Magic. You know, if those of you that know old school horror films, Magic with Anthony Hopkins, creepy. Absolutely creepy. Mannequins, creepy. Yes, creepy. You know, if you're walking, you know, past a department store and they have a display window and clothes are on these mannequins, you just happen to walk by and just glance at the clothing and say, wow, those are some nice clothes, and you happen to see the mannequin's head turn, I implore you, you better run your ass off, because the mannequin could possibly burst through the window. And yeah, I know it sounds like a horror film. Could be something I might be possibly working on. But we won't go there. We won't go there. Ladies and gentlemen, The Hour Show, Blog Talk Radio, it's your boy D Slate. And again, and just to let you guys know, coming up, we're revamping the format. For the Tuesday spot, we got an incredible format we're revamping. And the brothers, my host, my co-host, my brother CK Leo, we're revamping the Tuesday spot. And definitely next week, you guys are going to get, a glimpse at the new format for the Tuesday spot. This week, all the D-Hour Show Celebrity Thursday fans, you're going to get a glimpse of the new format for Celebrity Thursday. Speaking of Celebrity Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Celebrity Thursday, make sure you guys tune into the D-Hour Show this Thursday, because we have a treat for you guys, all you old school R&B fans, all you jazz fans. We definitely have a treat for you guys this Thursday on Celebrity Thursday. We will be talking to the incomparable, the legendary Bobby Caldwell is going to be on Celebrity Thursday with us. Definitely make sure you guys check it out. And he will be the only one. Oh, no. Bobby Caldwell won't be the only one joining us on Celebrity Thursday. Definitely make sure you guys tune in, because you never know who's going to be on the D-Hour Show with us. You never know. So make sure you tune in. get it in with us this Thursday. Yes, you heard what I said. Bobby Caldwell is going to be joining us on Celebrity Thursday this Thursday. We will also be joined by Cassandra O'Neill from Prince's New Power Generation Band. She's going to be dropping her own solo album soon, and we're going to be talking with her about that. So tune in for Celebrity Thursday this Thursday with Bobby Caldwell and Cassandra O'Neill. We will be talking with them and getting in and having a great time with them. So make sure you tune in. And tune into the D-Hour Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. And like I said before, we got a phenomenal network. We got some great shows. We talked to some great people, great artists, great local and independent artists. So you never know. You definitely never know. Also, if you're listening right now, give us a call. Give me a call. Let me know what some of your favorite horror films are. What's the scariest horror movie you've ever seen? 718-766-4553. That's 718-766-4553. Dial 1 so you can be heard. 718-766-4553. Give us a call. Let me know what some of your favorite horror films that you've seen. What's the scariest horror film you've ever seen? Why the hell was it so scary? Why was it so scary? Definitely make sure you give us a call. Keep tuning in to D-Hour Show. Hopefully a little later in the show, horror movie fans, hopefully we'll have a treat for you, and we'll get an opportunity to talk to phenomenal actor Tyler Mane, who played the evil, shadowy figure Michael Myers in Rob Zombie's version of the cult classic horror film Halloween. Hopefully we'll be getting my opportunity to talk with them tonight. So it's gonna be a pleasure. I definitely can't wait till we definitely talk to them. So keep listening, keep tuning in. We got some more music, got more hits. Absolutely, as always, the D-Hour Show doing what they do best, playing the hits, talking to some phenomenal people. Keep listening. D-Slate, the Tuesday spot. Here's American Idol alum Nico Smith with his hit, Speakers Blow, right here on a Tuesday spot.
check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Welcome back the Tuesday spot right here on the D Hour Show. You just got through listening to my girl Cass and me with Call Me Whatever. Before that, you heard Q Parker from 112 with his hit single Show You How, and American Idol alum Nico Smith with Speakers Blow. I got my brother Leo in the building with me right now. Leo, what's good, bro?
Everything's all right, man. I'm getting through this storm. Definitely a big storm, and definitely a reality check, man. Just getting swallowed up with life. You sometimes lose track of what's going on around you, and the seriousness of natural catastrophes and things like that, and big storms. So it's definitely a reality check here.
Absolutely. You know, Rob, and I think that a lot of people tend to get that. You know, when you live in certain areas, especially with areas, man, that tends to get hit by certain bad weather and natural disasters and different things like that. It's like you almost, you know, tell yourself, well, you know, it's not going to affect me. You know, it hasn't happened, so, you know, we're okay. But then, you know, like you said, when it happens, you know, you definitely get a reality check. And you're just like, man, and I feel sorry, you know, not just for all the victims and the families that suffered from Hurricane Sandy, but I also kind of feel sorry for, unless they're just die hard. I do feel sorry for those individuals that live in those states, because what happens is now those states, within the future, they tend to lose a lot of money, because a lot of people are like, you know what, I can't live here. If these are the kind of things that's going to be going on or happening, I just don't want to live here. And some of the states start losing a lot of residents and just losing money because people tell themselves, you know, I'm going to move out to the West Coast, or I'm going to move out, you know, to the Midwest and down south. But I don't want to be here in this area if it's going to be getting hit with storms and different things like this. And I kind of feel sorry for some of those states, man, because, you know, like Florida and different states like that, because people are just like, man, I just don't want to deal with that. And, I'm just going to move somewhere else. I kind of feel sorry for them.
Yeah, and it makes you, you know, sometimes reconsider those dream homes and things like that. Maybe a vacation spot, but just to live there and then just to know that this is something that you're going to have to go through on the regular. Because I know some of those places like Florida, and I know Jersey is pretty shocked these past couple of years, plus especially with Hurricane Irene and Sandy just wiping through, breaking down everything. Just even here in Philadelphia, you go to sleep with your home looking one way, and you wake up the next morning with your outside looking like a war zone. I tell you, it looks literally like the day after war when you walk outside here. So yeah, it's a big reality check. It makes you second guess where you locate to, and nowhere is really safe. But
absolutely, bro. I mean, I just truly hope that like everybody that went through Katrina and that's recovering from that. I really do hope everybody, all the families and individuals, can also recover from this Hurricane Sandy situation. And I think they will. You know, we have, as human beings, we have a resounding will to be able to handle, tragedies and different things like that, and be able to look at the brighter side and the silver lining of situations, and to be able to get through things. So I think as human beings, we have that type of character within us to be able to handle things like that. So definitely hope all the families and people are able to get past this.
Definitely, yeah. It's going to take time.
You know what, bro? On a different note, I gotta say something about this because it's a little unusual to me, and within the last couple of weeks, I've heard about two or three shark attack incidents, and I think two of the incidents were in California, and one was in Australia. I'm going to say this. Every time situations like that happen, there's always a shark attack or something like that happen. You always hear researchers or marine biologists or, shark experts saying, oh, it's just a isolated incident, and they normally don't do that, and that's weird. And you know what, man? I'm at this point, and I'm a big fan of Shark Week. I always watch Shark Week. I got to say this. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the whole it's just a fluke. They normally don't. I'm not buying that. I'm gonna put it out there like that. I'm gonna put it out on the table. I'm not buying that. I think that it's not an isolated incident. I don't think they try to say the sharks don't know, what we are. So they just. I think that's a lie. I think sharks do know what they're attacking. I think they do know that it's human beings that they're attacking. I think they do know that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna assume that sharks are just some big stupid animal and they don't know what they're biting on or what they're attacking. No, for it to be as many shark attacks as it's been within the last few years, I really don't believe that. I think sharks do know who they're attacking. I think they know that it's human beings that they're attacking.
And I completely agree with you. You just got to think about the human instinct as well. We know the difference between fish and chicken. You know, the difference between fish and chicken. So after a certain amount of time, they're going to cling, going to it.
And that's the oxymoron of the situation. That's the hypocritical part of the situation, because when you think about it, you hear them say, well, sharks can smell blood, from so many distances away. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, if they can sense blood like that or smell blood like that in the water, you're trying to tell me that because human beings, we have a smell, whether or not we're wearing colognes or perfumes or lotions or whatever the case may be. So you're trying to tell me that the shark don't know that it's a human being that it's attacking? That's some BS.
And basically, once you're in the water, their senses feel those vibrations, so that they're going to go to you regardless. But once they get closer, your skin is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Then they know exactly.
Exactly
what they're attacking.
And in the words of a really funny comedian, Please, let's stop calling it a shark attack. For you know, like I said before, that's where the oceans, the sea, you know, wherever the case may be, that's where they live. They live there. That is their home. So if you're in their home and you get bitten by a shark, you're in their home. Unfortunately, that's not an attack. You know, that's like a burglar breaking into your house. You beat the burglar down, and the burglar calls the police and say you attacked him.
Which is called a free kill when it comes to the human nature. Someone enters your home and is threatening your home. You have the right to defend yourself.
Exactly. So it's like how is that an attack? I don't know. I just like I said before, bro. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying a. It's an isolated incident. They normally don't do that. I'm not buying that. I think that they do know that it's human beings that they're attacking. And I gotta say, people, you know, everybody that's out there in Florida and Hawaii and different places like that, be careful. You know, when you're out there in the water surfing, and I know you surfers out there, dude, that's a wave. I gotta get out there. No, you know, I know you want to get out there and hit the big wave and just do something bigger than your friends. You know, just, and that's cool. That's cool. But just be careful because sharks ain't playing. Plain and simple. The sharks aren't playing, you know, they're attacking people, they're getting closer to the shore. Hey, they're not playing, plain and simple. And I'm starting to notice more and more attacks. So, and not just in Florida or Hawaii or California. You know, I've read about attacks in Texas, South Carolina, you know, so they're not playing, plain and simple. So, people, please be careful, you know, and just watch what you're doing out there. Also, ladies and gentlemen, within the next week or so, the election, the presidential election will be upon us. I know right now President Obama's not, and I'm telling you, man, this tells you about the resounding character of our president. You know, he's out there helping and helping dealing with, you know, and helping with the victims of Hurricane Sandy. And he said he's not thinking about no campaign right now. He's concentrating on making sure these families get the help that they need. Look, man, that's the kind of president we need. Yeah, kind of president we need in the office, people. It's the kind of president we need in the office. He don't give a damn about no campaign right now. He's trying to help out the little guy.
He's trying to make sure the
little guy is getting help. He's trying to make sure those individuals that suffered from it is getting help. Man, Elio, I don't think they're getting it, bro.
Not at all. That's a stand up guy. He's a family man, as you can see. You know, because he has a family that he loves, and if his country is in need, that's his country is his family too. So you know, he has to be there. He has to be on alert 24 hours a day. So you know, I'm glad he did address that issue the way he did. And disregarded the election. I think it's won already, but I actually heard some rumors about election. I don't know if you heard it yourself, but the election poll, they're saying that you won't be able to just select straight down the aisle Democrat. You have to specifically select President Obama if you want to vote for him, or the vote won't count or something like that. I don't know if you heard anything of that nature, but I'm just confused on it. I just thought if you're going straight Democrat, you could just go straight down.
Bro, you know the crazy thing about that is I feel like it's like it's anything and any tactic, you know, to get them out of the office. And again, I'm not gonna dive deep into the whole political scene, ladies and gentlemen. But I just want to say this: I know that there's some individuals out there. And I'm going to make it brief. I know some individuals out there that are frustrated because some of the things that he said he was going to do hasn't happened yet. And, again, I don't know how many times I can stress this or say this, but you can't fix eight or more. And I'm going to stress on the word more, but I'm going to say you cannot fix eight or more years of problems in 4 years. That's not going to happen. It's not, and it's always those people that don't have patience. It's always those people that expect things to happen overnight. You can't fix 8 or more years of problems in 4 years, people. It's not going to work like that. It does not work like that.
Especially when you got the team that's backing you against you. It's just going to be extra hard. So,
he came into a mess. He can't fix the mess in 4 years. It's going to take it's going to take some more time to fix it. It's going to take more time to fix it.
And just looking at those both the dates, he addressed that issue when they're saying that nothing's been done. He laid them out, which is saying he fixed this, just going straight down the line. And he actually has done a lot in the short amount of time he had. He just can't tackle everything at once.
And the wonderful thing about that is that, you know, for those, you know, I'm going to say for those with some serious common sense, you know, will know that, you know, that he can't really fix those problems in 4 years. He's going to need a little bit more time. I mean, people, we got to have some patience. You know, it took quite a few years, you know, for us to get in the mess that we got into. So it's going to take some years to get out of it. I mean, not four, but it's going to take a little bit more to get out of it. You know, just have some patience. I mean, it'll happen, you know, when he gets elected, you know, back into the office again. You know, have his back, and people, please, stop disrespecting the man and respect the man. And, you know, stop calling him, you know, Obama. Stop, you know, you didn't hear people saying, oh, George W., Oh, Mr. Bush. Oh, they were calling him president.
Exactly.
Regardless of whatever he was doing or how he was messing up, they were still calling that man president. So please, people, call the man president. That's what he is.
I agree with you. Completely agree with you.
Now, Elio, bro, I spit some news earlier, man. For all the science fiction, all the sci-fi fantasy fans, I heard that Disney purchased Lucasfilms and Star Wars from George Lucas for $4 billion.
Mm.
$4 billion. And granted, people, think about what I just said. They purchased this from him for $4 billion. Lucas was already on the Forbes list as a billionaire. He was already on the list. Not even counting this $4 billion. So Disney purchased that for $4 billion. And also, Elio, they're saying that in 2015, Disney is going to drop Star Wars Episode 7.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask, like what they were going to do with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do a lot.
Because all the fans have been crying for it for years. Me, myself, one of those fans. But all the fans have been crying to see the story after Return of. Now I know because I've read the books, and
okay.
I've heard the, and I've read it online and different things like that. And I know part of some of the story of what's going to go down in the next trilogy. And for those that don't know, that didn't get a chance to read it, let me just spit out a few secret, you know, surprise facts of the new trilogy, episodes 7, 8, and 9. And also know this, when George Lucas wrote that whole Star Wars storyline, he wrote 9 episodes. He didn't write just 6. He wrote 9. He wrote 9 episodes. And in the next trilogy, Luke Skywalker trains Princess Leia to be a Jedi. Luke has kids. Princess Leia, Han Solo has kids. Of course, they're going to be Jedi. Luke Skywalker turns to the dark side. Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker fight. She brings them back from the dark side. I mean, there's so many different things that's going to go down in this new trilogy. I'm telling you, I can't wait. And I know the big question that was put on internet news, you know, all over the internet, is whether or not Disney is going to screw up the Star Wars franchise.
I don't think they're gonna screw it up. Disney is a major company, so that they're going to get the right people to back this, to create this, and it's going to be crazy. And I know it. I'm just thinking about all the new movies that's coming out now.
Absolutely.
The remakes, They're trying to get
and
that
action. And think
that
about it, bro. Let's think about the history of Disney, man, and all the classic and incredible movies that they put out. I really don't think Disney's going to tarnish the phenomenal storyline of Star Wars. I really don't think they're going to do that. Plus, they're going to get some. They're probably going to have George Lucas in there helping them and getting some ideas from him. They may even have him as an executive producer, but I guarantee they're not going to screw it up. I mean, they know how hardcore Star Wars fans are, so I really don't think they're going to screw the franchise up. So all I got to say is you got about 3 years, people. 2015, Episode 7 will be out there, so definitely get ready for it. I know the news is going to be coming out over the years about the filming of the movie and different things like that. So, yeah, get ready because it's going to be coming out real soon. Real quick, Leo, before we get into some more music, hopefully our guest will be able to call in and get it in with us, the phenomenal actor Tyler Mayne. Do you have a favorite scary movie, man? You got a favorite scary movie that you've seen?
You know what? It's more newer than old, but Paranormal, the first Paranormal that came out has to be my favorite hands down. That's the one that gave me the most jumps, the most scares, and kept me on the edge of my seat was Paranormal. And I think it's just simply because it was the unexpected.
Because,
you know, off back, they're like, oh, you know, Paranormal was really real. So the rumors were going around, and then how it was shot, it was just there. It really took you there. Had the whole theater on the edge of their seats at the same time. I remember sitting in the movie theater.
I think what made it creepy, man, what made it great is that there's so many people out there who claims that their homes are haunted. And I think the thing that made it scary for those individuals is that, you know, for a person who, you know, you already think your house is haunted, you're hearing noises and creaks and different things at night, but for to be videotaping and you wake up in the morning and you watch the video and you notice and you see that there are some creepy things going on while you're asleep.
Exactly.
There's creepy things going on in your house around you while you sleep and you don't know nothing about it. That, to me, that's got to be one of the most creepiest feelings of all. And I think that's probably what made the movie so scary.
Oh yeah, I hate it when it was nighttime and when it's time to go to bed. It was a wrap. So yeah.
And you already knew, right? You already knew something crazy was about to happen. You know, you already knew something crazy was about to happen. But I think that's what made the film, just as creepy. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll definitely be talking about that throughout the show. 48 minutes remaining in the show. The Tuesday Spot, D-State, Leo, we're in the building right now. If you want to call in and chat it up with us, 718-766-4553. That's 718-766-4553. Definitely call in and chat it up with us. Tell us what some of your favorite scary movies and why it was so scary for you. We got more hits. Hopefully when we come back, we'll be talking to our guests. But we got some more hits for you guys. It is Karen White, Superwoman herself, with her new single, Seize the Day, from her new album, Carpe Diem, right here on the D-Hour Show, Tuesday Spot.
Seize the day. what you need.
What you gotta do to keep that woman
warm, my
heart, to keep that woman open.
It's what you want.
What you need, man.
Yeah.
What you gotta do to keep that woman high, to keep that woman open.
Oh, I ask her a question on a phone call. No, no, no. She was interrupting y'all. The pureness and innocence. But love was so rich and vague.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's the Dear Hour Show Tuesday spot. You just got through listening to Dwelle from his new album featuring Raheem Devon, What You Gotta Do. Before that, you heard Karen White with her new single, Seize the Day. D Slade and Elio are back in the building. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's the Tuesday spot, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I have the pleasure of getting ready to introduce our guest for tonight. And you guys know I'm a huge horror fan, so I'm definitely loving this right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Mayne constantly breaks boundaries and defies expectations. Certainly, he's got an undeniable physical prowess, of course, but the actor imbues a tangible humanity into every role he plays. Whether he's donning the mask of Michael Myers in Halloween or Halloween 2, or the crown of King Ajax in Troy, he can be the villain or the hero. And that versatility is what makes each one of his performances very memorable. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D Hour Show welcome to the phenomenal Mr. Tyler Mayne.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing good. That was a hell of an introduction, guy.
I'm a huge horror fan, man, and I'm a huge fan of your work, man, so you absolutely deserve it. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, my man.
And I definitely appreciate you for being on the show with us. And for those that don't know, you're an ex-wrestler. You used to wrestle.
Yeah, 11 and a half years. Wrestled all over the world for the WCW, UWF, Japan, Germany, Austria, England, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Yugoslavia, South Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got around. I got some frequent flyer miles back in the day.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, what do you think about some of the new characters in the WWE right now, and for some of the new wrestlers?
You know, I mean, it's changed, and I really don't follow it all that much. Every once in a while, I'll watch if I see a buddy of mine from days gone past on there still. But other than that, I'm not really, you know. Because every time I watch it, I want to get back in the ring, and then I think, damn it, I'm way too old for that. And then I think, I don't want to travel anymore, and screw that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I remember watching a UFC fight one time, and it was actually the title fight with Brock Lesnar, and The Undertaker was there. And I remember the gentleman, the announcer, talking to him, and he was asking the Undertaker. He says, "Yeah, I hear you're a huge fan of UFC." He says, "Yeah, I'm a big fan of it." He said, "If it was 20 years ago, I'd be fighting in UFC myself." He said, "But I'm too old for it." He said, "But yeah, I love UFC."
Yeah, exactly. I love that stuff too. It's controlled insanity.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know.
Now, I'm going to start with the first film. A lot of people got a chance to see you debut in the X-Men. What was it like working in the X-Men movie?
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. I got to work with a lot of top people, you know, Sir Ian McKellen, Halle Berry, Famke, Patrick Stewart, you know, and got to work with Hugh Jackman and it was a fantastic experience. I wish the role was a little bit bigger, but he was portrayed as Magneto's sidekick, and it was a great launch pad for me.
Now, you know, when you think about the comic book world, you know, you think about all the diehard fans. Now, did you get a lot of great positive feedback from some of the diehard X-Men fans?
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, I mean, they're saying that Sabretooth was true to character, and to hear that from true fans, it's just fantastic. Every time I interact with the fans, they're all, you know, I loved your Sabretooth, and is there going to be more, you know? So it's just great to get that kind of reaction from the fans.
Absolutely, absolutely. I got my co-host, Elio, in the building. Elio, you got any questions for Tyler?
I sure do. What's going on, Tyler?
Man, I'm hanging in there. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm pleased to speak with you. I have a few questions for you. Now, it's one thing to read a script and get a perception of a character. Now, I'm referring to, since we're in a, you know, Halloween segment, I want to, you know, talk on Michael Myers. So,
right.
Like I said, it's one thing reading a script and getting a gist of a character, but it's a whole different thing when you look at it and sit back and watch a film and be terrified about the character. But I want to know the perspective on being that person. Did it wow you? Did it scare you? Like, what was the mind state you were in when becoming Michael Myers?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, to prepare for Michael Myers, I watched all the Halloweens because I wanted to see what the other performers did with it, except for Halloween 3, where Michael Myers doesn't appear. I don't know what the heck that's all about. But, I watched them, and I wanted and Rob wanted to make him more than a one-dimensional character. So I did a lot of research on serial killers and how they interacted in society and stuff, and just to get in that mindset. And I wanted to... take Michael Myers to the next level, you know, make him be more than just a one-dimensional character. And, that's like in the first Halloween when I was in the asylum, without being able to speak, all you have is your body language. So I had to figure out what kind of body language I was going to portray for Michael Myers. And I kind of needed to build it up until the point where he got his mask and became Michael Myers again, you know. So I shrugged and I, you know, drooped my shoulders in the asylum and kind of slouched and shuffled my feet. And then as I got closer and closer to that mask, Michael Myers started to come back to life.
Right, right.
Oh,
where did that leave you mentally, like afterwards, like after the film was, you know, over with, was it hard to get back to yourself?
No, you know, I mean, it's thank God I'm not a method actor, because if I wasn't playing a serial killer, I'd be kind of screwed right now. I'd be sitting in jail. But
oh yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like after a day of you know, doing those kills with all the bloody scenes and stuff, I mean, I'd go home and I'd have a glass of wine and a cigar and just unwind and get ready for the next day, you know. And then when you see it all put together, it's a whole different ballgame, because when you're on set doing it, it's, you know, some of them are not as vicious or whatever, and you're like, God, I hope this really comes across as being vicious. And then when you see it all put together, it, you know, you go, damn, ooh, ow, you know. And when I saw the first film, it got me to jump even like 3 or 4 times during it. And I was like, okay, if I can make myself jump, I'm doing my job right, I guess. You know?
I would think so, absolutely.
Go ahead,
Elio.
Yeah, I do. I have one more question for you. And I must agree with the fans with as far as X-Men was concerned. You definitely did a good job with that. I'm definitely a big comic book fan myself.
Thank you.
What's the next big project for you?
I just started my own production company, Main Entertainment, and we have just finished up our first project called Compound Fracture. It is a supernatural thriller about a family that needs to come together after a 20-year absence to overcome a vengeful ghost. And it is starring myself, Derek Mears, Jason from the new Friday the 13th. It has Muse Watson, the killer from I Know What You Did Last Summer. Leslie Easterbrook is in it. Yeah, it's got 3 serial killers. It's got Leslie Easterbrook. It's got Daniel Roebuck. It's got Todd Farmer. You know, it's just a cool little supernatural thriller. So everybody, when that comes out, we're talking with distributors now, and hopefully it'll be out by the beginning of the year. So check it out. And actually, I believe this week we're going to be releasing a trailer. So everybody go to Compound Fracture Film on Facebook and hit the like, and then look for the trailer when it pops up there.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm a huge horror fan, so I remember reading about that your company was working on that. So I definitely can't wait to check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah, very cool. I was just in Orlando at Spooky Empire and showed the trailer for the first time, and everybody was really digging it and saying they can't wait to see it. So that's kind of that's a good thing to hear.
Absolutely. Now,
yeah.
Definitely, Tyler, to go back. You know, seeing how you were actually in a horror film yourself, and you portrayed such an iconic horror character. You know, when you think about it, have you ever asked yourself when you hear about or see individuals and people watch horror films, you have so many people so deathly afraid of watching horror films, so I just can't watch it. And you know, do you kind of ask yourself, like, you know, seeing how you are actually a part of a film, you ask yourself, I don't understand why people are just so afraid to watch horror films when knowing that it's just a film.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, stuff like that affects everybody differently. It's, you know, it's the visual, it's the audio, it just affects people differently. I was just talking to someone this last weekend, and she was like, I couldn't watch 10 minutes of your movie. It scared the crap out of me. You know, she had to go running out of the theater.
Oh, wow.
And she's tried to sit through it like several times now. She gets to about that 10, 12 minute mark and she's up and gone. So, you know, it affects everything. So I guess I'm doing my job right if I'm scaring
absolutely,
her right out of the
absolutely.
Damn theater, right? But, no, I mean, it affects everybody differently, you know? So that's the great thing about film, and that's what I love about film is, you know, everybody perceives them totally differently. You know, I mean, everybody comes away with a different experience, which is fantastic.
Now, Tyler, you know, when you look at some of the greats, you know, some of the great horror films that came out, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, and you think of some of the films that are being made now, I mean, do you think there's a big difference do you think people are more afraid now, or do you think that people are more afraid of some of the classics back in the 70s and 80s?
Well, you know, it's all what the audiences are used to. Now, I mean, they're used to such graphic violence, which back then, you know, they didn't have. I mean, now
exactly.
If you're not now, if you don't have pools of blood and people getting, you know, their heads practically ripped off, people are like, ah, it's boring or what, you know.
Exactly.
It's like with Jaws. I mean, one of my favorite films. You barely see the shark. You know, I mean, some play better than others when you don't see the character, and some play better when you see the character. You know, so it's just. That's the whole thing about being a producer. You got to get that right mix to make sure you just scare the crap out of the audience and take them on that story and take them on that ride and, you know, have that story told to them.
Absolutely. And I agree. I absolutely agree with you. I think that it's definitely a big difference, and you're right. People are so used to such graphic violence. If they don't really see that much graphic violence now, it's kind of boring. But I think
if you look at the first Halloween, I mean, nothing really happens for the first half hour.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, exactly. If you do that in a film today, people are going to be like, "What? Kill somebody already? Damn it!" You know.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think that when you think about some of the greats that came out back in the 70s and the 80s, and it's just like you said. And especially with you being in a film that had such an iconic score, you know, iconic music, a part of the film. And I think that was one of the biggest things that made horror films so creepy and so terrifying back then. A lot of times it was mostly the music, you know, the music. And like you said with your favorite movie, Jaws, I mean, that was one of the biggest things that made the movie creepy was the music.
Exactly, you know, that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun,
exactly,
that build.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's like with the Halloweens, Tyler Bates did a fantastic job with the Halloweens, and that's why I called him for a Compound Fracture. You know, Tyler and one of his guys, Joel Richard, did the score for Compound Fracture. And it's just amazing. The whole process of you know, transitioning from actor to producing also has been a fantastic experience. Because I mean, you know, when you do a film, and especially if you're doing something like a supernatural thriller, like
right.
we did, the score and the sound effects are so important. And, I mean, you watch the film with just the dialogue in and the initial sound effects, and you're like, God, I hope this is going to be scary, you know. And then you put the music in with it, and you just, you know, and then the hair stands up on your neck, and you're like, wow. You know, it's just such
yeah.
a big difference.
Absolutely.
And to see that whole process, how it comes together, is just, you know, it's phenomenal.
Now, do you have an ultimate favorite scary movie? What was the scariest movie? You know, thinking about some of the classics you've seen, what was the scariest horror movie you've ever seen?
You know, I mean, I really like The Shining. It's just creepy to me. I like Jaws. After seeing Jaws when it first came out when I was a young one, I didn't want to get in the bathtub for 2 weeks afterwards, man. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Don't laugh
oh, yeah.
at me.
you know that's most of anybody
that saw that.
What? You're right. It is so crazy, too, because I was the same way, but I think it's like when you actually got into the bathtub, you're thinking to yourself, come on, you know, it's not going to be a shark in here. But, I mean, the movie had that much of an effect on people where they were actually afraid to take baths because of the movie.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, to this day, I will not go on a cruise ship. Screw that. Sorry, cruise line or whatever, but I ain't doing that, you know?
Now, Tyler, have you ever got an opportunity to meet Kane Hodder, the gentleman that played Jason Voorhees in some of the Friday the 13th movies?
Yeah, I know Kane real well, yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're actually talking about doing a project together.
Oh, wow. That would be wonderful. I would love to see that. I would definitely like to see that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's in the works right now. It's Cascade County Massacre is going to be. It's going to be like a kind of like a throwback to old Western to, you know, mixed with the modern day. So, I mean, hey, if I get a six-shooter in my hand, look out.
Well, I like that. I like that. You know, has there been any talk about possibly doing another Halloween?
Yeah, you know, I mean, a couple of years ago we were going to do it, both Scout and I, and then they put it on the shelf. You know, there's been some talk about Halloween 3D. I'm like, oh, please do not do that, because how many times can Michael Myers
right.
stab, you know? But I really, they just re-released the original one with Jamie Lee Curtis from 78. I did an opening kind of a talk with Justin Beam from Fangoria for it. And
okay.
it's been released in the theaters, re-released. You know, so if they do it and the script is good and everything, you know, all the stars align, so to speak, I would love to do it. I don't know what I'm going to do, because, I mean, like when I did the second one, I said, Rob, we got to kick it up a notch. And he says, go for it, you know. So that first kill with the nurse.
I love that. That was classic. Oh, my goodness.
That was kind of vicious, yeah. Yeah,
it was.
And
I think, but you know, Tyler, I think that's what gave the and that's what I like so much about Rob Zombie. I mean, that's what gave his films such an appeal, because you got to see a really dark and violent side of Michael Myers. And I think what made fans happy is fans were kind of relieved, because when you thought about some of the previous films, you're thinking to yourself, man, why is this guy so violent? But when Rob revamped it, you got an opportunity to really see why, you know, Michael Myers was so violent, and I think that's what gave it such an appeal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the kills were gruesome. You know, it's like you know, some people are like, oh, well, they're so bloody. I go, well, I mean, there's no such thing really as a clean kill. You know,
true.
Right?
That's very true. That's very true.
You know, there's going to be a residual effect, and it's going to be gruesome.
And it's funny that you say that, because I hear that too, man. You always hear people saying, well, it was so gruesome. Like, I mean, there's no murder that's going to be clean. I mean, it's going to be, you know, rather gruesome, especially depending on the situation. But I definitely agree with that.
Exactly. You know, check out. On the internet, you can go to any site and see, you know, death scenes. It's not pretty.
Oh, no,
yeah,
not at all.
That's what those death scenes, now, just seeing it on camera, we know some effects are added, but how is it actually doing? Is it as gruesome, or are even more just grossed out?
I mean, it's pretty gruesome. Like, in the second one, when Daniel Harris dies in that bathroom, you know, there was blood everywhere, and I mean, it was hard to even walk through there because it was so slippery. There was blood everywhere.
Wow.
It was a mess, and you're like, damn, can this much blood actually come out of a person? But it was pretty surreal, you know. And like when Scout did that scene, she was up there doing the crying scene, and it's funny because, you know, Scout and I are, she calls me dad, and, you know, she's like one of my kids, and she came down and she was just crying, you know, and I could see that she was really broke up, so I figured, okay, I got to make this girl laugh and get her out of her head, you know. So she came up to me and she goes, I can't stop crying. It's just great. I go, I need a van. I got to get out of here. And she goes, oh, you ass. And I go, it worked, didn't it? You know?
Well, you know, Tyler, I gotta put this out there, and hopefully if Maine Entertainment can definitely get the wheels spinning, I'd like to see a Jason versus Freddy versus Michael Myers.
Yeah, well, there you go.
A triple threat. Hey, I'd like to see a triple threat.
We did a triple threat with Compound Fracture. It's just we used the killer from I Know What You Did Last Summer. Who actually? I mean, Muse Watson is phenomenal, and he plays my father in it, and. I mean, it was the chemistry and everything, and I tell you, it was the most fun I've ever had doing the movie was working on Compound Fracture. I can't wait to do it again. Our next project is Penance Lane, which is more of a horror that we're going to be starting in a few months, and I'm looking forward to it again.
And, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because I definitely wanted to kind of get into a little bit into that of your production company. You know, I mean, what's the focus, you know, for the, you know, what's the inspiration and the focus for the future of what you're planning on giving, you know, some of the fans with your production company?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to keep making really good films that are interesting and that the fans want to watch. You know, we have about 7 lined up, and we're just going to keep, you know, knocking them out and, you know, hopefully entertaining the fans.
I like that. Absolutely. Now, you know, my last question for you, it's kind of a two-parter. Thinking about where you were going when you were getting into the acting business and, you know, the acting, you know, entertainment. You know, there's a lot of individuals out there that are, you know, trying to make their way into the acting world and, you know, want to get that big break and want to be, an incredible actor and or actress. You know, just for those individuals and those fans that are trying to be actors and actresses, you know, what advice do you give to some of the rookies that want to make it in that business?
You know, you just gotta keep going and keep true to what you believe in, you know? I mean, and everybody gets into the system, so to speak, totally differently. I mean, I came in through the wrestling, and my first real film that I did was when I was wrestling in Mexico. I was offered a Mexican wrestling film where I play an intergalactic vampire and had 3 midget sidekicks dressed up like aliens. This is back in the 80s. And there was pink fog that followed me around, you know? So, it's like, I'd always wanted to transition. I never knew how I was going to do it. But after doing that, I was like, man, I got to keep pursuing this. And then luckily, when I went back to the WCW, you know, they called, the Universal Studios called about the Universal Action Pack, about the... Bandit series. It was one of the 4 part of the Universal Action Pack, so I ended up doing the Bandit series, the kind of reboot of Smoking the Bandit there, then transitioned into the X-Men, you know? So, I mean, I came up through the pro wrestling and transitioned into the film, but for other people, you know, I mean, it, you know, there's a lot of people that... want to be actors and just, you know, it is so much luck and being in the right place at the right time. People would not believe it, you know?
Absolutely. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
I totally learned that when I was, producing our film, Compound Fracture. We had literally for one of the roles over 1,200 submissions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like, I mean, you're just looking through and you're, you know, trying to pick people that kind of, it's like, if you look like what they're thinking of for the part, you get put into the mix, you know? So, I mean, it's like luck of the draw for a lot of it. And after going through that process as a producer, I don't know how the hell I got booked for anything. You know?
Well, you were just that good. I mean, and I'm definitely happy. I'm definitely happy that they gave you your shot, man, and you definitely proved to them that you can give the audience some phenomenal performances, man. So I'm glad you got your shot.
Oh, thank you, my man. Thank you.
My last question for you. The Exorcist has been labeled as probably the scariest movie of all time. Do you agree with that? And do and if they do a remake, what do you think it's gonna? What do you think the atmosphere is gonna be like?
You know, I mean, The Exorcist. Yeah, I loved that movie. It was really intense and freaky. If they do a remake of that, I mean, it's gonna be. Here's the thing. I mean, like, I'm so glad I was a part of Halloween and part of the remake. But sometimes when they touch stuff that shouldn't be touched, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They
right.
tend to tarnish it.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's like Halloween needed a reboot. They were on like number eight, and it was time to, you know, rejuvenate it. But
exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so I don't know. Who knows?
I think if they try to remake that, I think if they even take a stab at it, I think that if they don't do it the right way, it's going to probably tarnish it a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing. It just all depends on who's doing it and what they're going to do and, you know, and what direction they take it.
I agree.
I think they definitely want to take it real slow.
Yeah, because it's like with the Halloween, there's some really true diehard fans. You know, a lot of people are very receptive to it, but there's some diehard fans that just, they're like, oh, why did they touch it? And I'm like, you know, it's like, what do you say?
I'm definitely a diehard Halloween fan. That's one of my all-time favorites. And plus, Michael Myers is the originator of slasher films. But I think that I think that you and Rob did an incredible job with that. I think that you guys gave it the appeal that the fans were looking for. You know, that question that the fans kept asking, you know, why is this guy so evil? Why is he so violent? And you guys definitely got, you know, answered that question, and I think that's what gave it, you know, such a huge appeal.
Yeah, it showed how he's a product of his environment, you know. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tyler, if anybody wants to chat with you or talk with you or catch up with you online, where would they be able to find you at?
On my Twitter, at Tyler_Main. On my website, TylerMain.com. Facebook, Tyler Main. You know, it's all there. Check it all out.
Absolutely. Tyler, as a big horror fan, man, I got to say this was an absolute honor and pleasure for me, man, to get an opportunity to talk to you, and I thank you so much. It was an absolute blessing to have you on the show with us, and as far as we're concerned, man, our show is your home now, man. You're welcome here anytime. We'd love to have you back on the show. I'd love to get you back on to talk about Compound Fracture and some of the new films that you guys will be working on.
Yeah, I would love to. You know, I would love to come on your show at any, you know, just shoot me a Twitter or shoot me an email and let's do it, you know. And have everybody like Compound Fracture Film on Facebook for me, my man.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to tell everybody to make sure that they like Compound Fracture and definitely check out the trailer when you guys get the trailer on there. Leo, you got any closing comments for Tyler?
Well, most definitely. I'll hope you get Compound Facts out there and as well as stay in touch with you. And I wish you the best in your future, man, and I'm looking forward to seeing your new project.
Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Hey, guys, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us, man. I'm definitely going to get it out there, get the word out there. And like I said, well, I'd love to get you guys back on the show, maybe get you and some of the other guys, some of the other actors from Compound Fracture on the show, and we can definitely make it a great show.
That would be cool. That would be very cool.
All right, Tyler.
We'd have too much fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Hey, Tyler, you have a blessed night, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, man.
Bye.
It's the D-Hour Show, the Tuesday spot, the phenomenal actor Tyler Main from the hit cult classic Rob Zombie's Halloween, just hanging out with us on the show, thanking him so much for joining us. Man, had a phenomenal time with him. We got to take a quick music break. When we come back, me and Leo is going to close it out with you guys and give you guys a little bit of information about the new revamping of the Tuesday Spot next week. Make sure you guys definitely tune in. It's the D-Hour Show's Tuesday Spot. D-Slate Leo, here's Naughty by Nature featuring Joe with Perfect Party right here on the D-Hour Show.
Yes.
Film, definitely make sure you guys check that out. Again, thanking you guys so much for joining us on the D-Hour show tonight, getting it in as well, as always. And again, I want to say prayers and condolences to all the families and individuals suffering from Hurricane Sandy. Keep your head up, ladies and gentlemen, and keep on pushing. And we're definitely going to get through this one like we did all the other ones. And just want to say, you know, make sure you guys check us out. Me and Elio and CK next week for the new revamped Tuesday spot. We got an incredible show for you guys. We're definitely going to get it in with you guys, so make sure you guys keep a lookout for it. And this Thursday, Celebrity Thursday, we will be talking to the legendary Bobby Caldwell and also Cassandra O'Neal from the hit from Prince and the New Power Generation. We're going to be talking with her about her music and a new solo album, getting in with her as well. So definitely make sure you guys check that out on Celebrity Thursday. Just keep tuning in to the D-Hour Show Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on. Ellie, yo, bro, you got any closing comments?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely good talking to Tyler. And it definitely drew up another point that I just wanted to hit right quick with the time change, the time change in film. Played a big factor. And then one of the things that struck with Paranormal was it kind of dumbed down and took it back to the older style with less effects.
Exactly.
More of a climax to what's going on. Because it took at least a half an hour to 45 minutes or something to really just start kicking in.
Meaning that less is better.
Yes, less is more. Yep. Less is more. Definitely.
I like that. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm definitely looking forward to next week, and it's going to be big and epic. So, and I mean, keep
make
it together.
Sure. No doubt. Make sure you guys tune in. Elio said it right there. It's going to be epic. And we're going to have a great time on the new revamping of the Tuesday spot. We revamped Celebrity Thursday. And we're going to have a wonderful time with some of our incredible shows on the D-Hour Network. You know, the I Got Something to Say show, Nod Your Head Wednesday, The Color in the Cafe, Indie Up Saturday. We got some great shows for you guys, so keep tuning into the D-Hour show. I tell you guys all the time, just keep listening. You never know who's going to be on the show with us, so keep listening every single time because you never know who we're going to have on. Some of your favorite actors and actresses, some of your favorite celebrity artists, some of your favorite comedians, you know, athletes, indie artists. You never know who's going to be on. So just make sure you guys keep tuning in. And like I said before, we won't be broadcasting live tomorrow. You guys will get a encore show, you know, so everybody tomorrow, so everybody can enjoy Halloween. Please, people, be safe for Halloween. Watch your kids. Have some fun. But, you know, most of all, I implore you, please be safe and make sure your children are safe so they can enjoy Halloween. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. We will see you guys next time on Celebrity Thursday, this Thursday, with Bobby Caldwell and Cassandra O'Neal. This is D Slate, Elio. We got to get on up out of here. We're not going to play the traditional outro song. I think to go into the theme of what's going on you know, today and to the theme of the holiday, I think I'm gonna play another outro song for you guys. I'm gonna apologize right now for those that get creeped out real easy, but it's D Slate, it's Elio. We gotta get on up out of here. Here's the outro song. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy Tuesday, enjoy Halloween, and please be safe.
Peace.